In the operation of his mission to India, William Carey and his associates Ward and Marshman affirmed a covenant three times every year, and part of it says, "Let us often look at David Brainerd in the woods of America, pouring out his very soul for the people." Robert Morrison, who was a pioneer missionary to China, wrote in his diary that after Christ and the Apostles, the man who had influenced him most to be a missionary was David Brainerd. Henry Martin, who was another selfless pioneer missionary, traces both his first inspiration and his renewed consecration to David Brainerd. Robert Murray McShane wrote these words in his diary: "David Brainerd, most wonderful man, I cannot express what I think of thee when I think of thee. Now I am more set than ever on missionary enterprise." In our century, Jim Elliot, the martyred missionary, was inspired by reading about Brainerd before he went to the Auca Indians of South America. So you can see a very large number of Christians have been, and no doubt will continue to be, inspired by reading about Brainerd's brief life. He was born in a colonial village in America, not far from New York, in 1718. Not a lot is known about his early life, except that his father died when he was 8, and his mother died when he was 14. They had been godly parents. By the time he was 20, outwardly he was a solid and serious Christian. Not only did he perform every outward Christian duty well, but he spent time every day in secret prayer, and he really did read 10 chapters of the Bible every day in private. If there's anybody hearing this who thinks that their salvation is confirmed by secret prayer, sincere secret prayer, then take a warning from Brainerd. Really, his trust was in all those religious activities and not in Christ. Sometimes he would spend whole days fasting and pleading with God to show him more of the sinfulness of sin and to break his rebel heart. It was while taking one of his walks for prayer in July 1739 that God's light finally broke into his soul and he was converted. He was 21. Tuberculosis killed him when he was 29 and a half. So it's a matter of arithmetic to see how long his Christian life lasted. And throughout it all, he struggled with depression. Anybody prone to depression ought to note that it did not stop him being totally consecrated to Christ. Now, an enterprising Scottish missionary society offered to support him as a missionary to the Indians. Now, forget the idea of the noble savage. These American Indians were into every sin in the book and then some more. And they lived in what Brainerd called the howling wilderness. Not expecting to come back from this enterprise, he sold or gave away all his personal belongings, and the money which resulted, he gave away secretly. And it was to see a promising young pastor through college, and that man never knew who his benefactor was. Brainerd estimated that he rode about 4,000 miles a year for the 4 years his ministry lasted. At first, at his first mission station, he met with no success. A letter written to his brother John says, I long daily to die more and more to this world. Worldly pleasures, riches, honours are empty. Why should we sink and grow discouraged with trials and perplexities? Death and eternity are just before us. A few tossing billows more will waft us into the world of spirits, and by infinite grace into endless pleasure, rest and peace. In 1744, he was ordained as a Presbyterian minister, and at about the same time, two very large and wealthy churches invited him to become their pastor. Here, in beautiful surroundings, he could have had an expository ministry, probably a family, and the benefits of being surrounded by like-minded people. But he never gave the offers much serious consideration. My concern, he wrote, is for the conversion of the heathen. For that end, I live. 2 years had gone by and not one Indian had been converted. Half of his ministry gone and not one convert. But in 1745, he moves to Cross Weeksung. It's south of New York. And for a change, the Indians showed some interest in the gospel. His voice started to be drowned out by the sobs of Indians calling out to Christ to be saved. There were no guitars, no choirs, no testimonies, none of the usual trappings that we associate with a modern mission. He had the two resources, the Word and the Spirit, and he reported that he was like a bystander watching the Holy Spirit at work. Of course, he'd long been convinced of the Reformed teaching that salvation is wholly God's work. Now he had visible proof of it. For there in front of him, large numbers of Indians were being converted to Christ. He baptized the adult converts and their children. He held the Lord's Supper. And now he was the pastor of an Indian congregation with hundreds in it. And to his joy, they were growing in grace and in the knowledge of God. And after 1.5 years of this sort of blessing, his health gave way, and his brother John had to take over the work. His last few months were spent in the house of Jonathan Edwards, whose daughter Jerusha looked after him. Had he lived, they might well have been married, but sad to say, she too caught tuberculosis, possibly from Brainerd, and she died just a few months later. Their graves are side by side, even today. To read about David Brainerd is to be made to feel that we know almost nothing about prayer and fasting. He lived prayer. He wrestled with God. He prayed himself to sleep. He even prayed in his dreams. Regularly, he would kneel all night, often making personal vows to Christ. He pleaded to enjoy Christ's presence so that he would have total devotion and self-dedication. His sufferings while sleeping rough and alone are numberless and hideous. Who among us would bid farewell to all earthly comforts and spend life alone in the caves and dens of the earth so that Christ's kingdom might be advanced? Nobody who reads the 70 pages about him in Five Pioneer Missionaries could possibly remain satisfied with his or her present spiritual condition. We may not be called to be pioneer missionaries, but all Christians are called to be missionaries. Wherever our paths take us, And we are certainly called to be prayerful and holy, for without holiness not one of us will see the Lord. So, as truly as Brainerd followed Christ, let us learn from him.